like with mother, they tend to be more and more attuned in a sensitive way. That is why the children need to be massaged by the mother. But that doesn't say that the father should not massage them. It gives them more strength and stability. If the children are massaged by both the male and the female parents, the female body also has certain mental reactions and memories of pain that are retained longer than the male body. Because those reactions and pain tend to be carried on most of the life. In the male body, since he does not go through pregnancy, the memory of labor pain is not ingrained in the consciousness. In the female body, this is ingrained, and it is transferred to the offspring. Also, the constant drainage of the menstrual cycle every 28 days, the anguish that is there, and the fear of self-poisoning or possible damaging the mechanism. These fears are more intense in the female body than the male body. Masters have found that the female body, over many incarnations, a difficult mechanism to work with. But that doesn't say they are not female masters. In a female master's body, these symptoms of menstrual cycles are shut off at a very early age. The mechanism goes through a different change built up by the meditative practice. The body becomes more refined, more serene. The vibratory nature of the female body becomes more electric, and therefore the symptoms that would normally occur in the body by having the act of pregnancy occurring in it alters itself now in a female body. The female body, no longer having to go through the pregnancy act, begins to change, especially in a female master. Female master now becomes more indrawn and does vibrate at a different frequency. Those who've seen pictures of Ananda Moy Ma, we do have one over here, her whole body frequency is vibrating different. Those who I've met her, I'll tell you, there is a difference in vibration. sometimes we are afraid to face ourselves in the body forms we're in. Because it has certain handicaps, certain commitments that we have to make with those bodies. But once you experience cosmic consciousness and you feel the inner peace, it matters not what body form you have, because it's polarized for the first time. Many of us are coming into a spiritual life and are looking not for the spiritual life. This may seem strange. They are looking primarily for something to latch on to, because they can't face themselves inside themselves. In a spiritual life, you're going to run into people of all types of mentalities, with all types of excuses. And there's a reason for it. Part of themselves are incomplete, and part of themselves they're afraid to face. Part of themselves gives them strength. Yet they're locked up in a male or female body. And in the process of trying to bring this into manifestation, the female body has an advantage over the male body in the start, because the female body will vibrate on the feeling level in the start of the spiritual growth. There is a sudden recognition of feeling between two individuals, between their own sex, equally true in the male body. But in the male body, it's slower to react. The female body is quicker to react, because the male body, feeling dominates. In the male body, reason dominates, feeling is held in check. Now we have past life experiences, past life feelings, past life associations that vibrate between the female body, between female and female, between male and male, between female and male. And these conditions come up in the spiritual life and can distort the true spiritual experience, the true meaning for being in a process of spiritual growth. Because of past life experience, past life commitments, these vibrations do build up certain conflicts in ourselves and certain commitments in ourselves. When we recognize them, we have to recognize them on three levels. One, the level in which we might be hurt, which is called pain, by someone of our own sex or of the opposite sex that caused the pain. Could be a mother or a father, a brother or a sister, a husband or a wife, someone that triggers the pain in us. Now, human beings, once we are hurt, the only way we feel that the pain can be relieved is to cuddle ourselves or try to immerse ourselves in some type of imaginary reverie to shake off the pain. And when there is that compassionate feeling generated by any individual during that period, we will tend to latch on to that feeling to raise ourselves. Now, nothing is wrong in doing that in the initial stages, because one does not know why they are latching on. It is because the anguish, the pain is so great, you are latching on to someone to build up the sense of confidence and relieve the stress of loneliness, the stress of being shut out. And pain and anguish is very, very strong in a human being, especially when life can be very miserable and the body must work these pain stresses out. And there is no way to work it out except by locking on to some individual who may be compassionate or considerate or have a sense of feeling or warmth to you. It can trigger that dependency. And once that dependency is triggered in the initial states, it can become a crutch. And sometimes we never break free from it, realizing where we're really generating love or we're generating dependency. Dependency passes as love. Intimacy passes as love at times. Need passes as love at times. But the real love is the growing up. The real love is allowing the individual to work out the situation to the point of realizing a balance within their nature. Because each one of us is a free agent. The truth makes you free, free man or lord of yourself. Unless you know the basic mechanics of the body, you can't truly function as a being. You're still hanging on to some particular association and therefore blocking a true release of love in your own nature. The first condition I said was pain. The second condition in which we hang on or relate to get some type of involvement is loneliness. Loneliness is one of the most threatening field force in the human mechanism. We can be with people and still be lonely. We can associate with our own sex and be lonely. We can associate with the opposite sex and be lonely. And we can associate with nobody and still be lonely. Loneliness is a peculiar phenomenon. You can stand your own company and then you get lonely. You can't stand your own company and you still get lonely. It's that particular phenomenon that you look at your body and feel that no one around you understands you, know you, or try to relate to you, and you become lonely again. Loneliness is a form of drowning in the world of no tactile contact. We reach out constantly when we are lonely for contact with another person. Either they are present with you or they're not present with you. The sense of loneliness is there. The sense of wanting to touch. The body aches in that sensation. Now in the male body, sense of loneliness is very strong up to a certain age. Then it changes or alters. In the female body, the sense of loneliness is strongest in the advanced ages of the life. In the male, it's very strong when they're young. It tapers off and becomes balanced when they get more mature. The female body, it's not so intense when they're young. It becomes intense when they start to become mature. The more the female body matures, because of the fact it has to go through pregnancy, and it alters so drastically, sense of loneliness increases more. The sense of responsibility and commitment are stronger now in the male body. As it advances, the stress and the sense of loneliness is when it's young. Sense of responsibility and commitment is when it gets more mature. In the female body, it's the reverse. The sense of responsibility is always when they're young. The sense of loneliness is when they start getting mature or adult. Now, pain can trigger this sense of loneliness in the female body faster and sustain it longer. If the female body goes through a tremendous shock wave, and in the household relationship, this hangs on more and more as there are confrontations between the two individuals. To resolve this anguish, loneliness, again we come back to understanding how the body responds to touch. It's in touch or tactile contact that release is brought to bear in the male or the female body. And we have to build this up. We have to focus it more and more, and sometimes it's difficult to focus because we are turned off again by sound in ourselves. The female body is turned off by the children's voices during the day of overexposure to them. The male body is turned off by the constant confrontation with the stresses of survival in the work with the people it has to associate with. This makes it difficult now for the two individuals to relate at the end of the day. At the end of the day, the male body has one particular relationship after the stress with competitive attitudes, and therefore is drained and tries to relate and may snap and react differently. The female body is in the same situation. It goes through tremendous reaction by the constant aggravations of the tonal impressions brought to bear in the body, and the body feels drained off, and therefore a sense of security is threatened. The sense of loneliness seems to get stronger. The sense of fear gets stronger because the body has sensed these particular changes within itself, and now on a rational level it doesn't seem to cope with it. Now fear is very strong, and any changes in the body or any change in communication between two individuals, we tend to blame ourselves. We tend to blame things that we should have done and things we should not have done. This is not truly valid. It's partially true. What is really valid about blaming ourselves is that the buildup in the body and the patterns in which we live are all set electrically to go off at certain times and to bring these stresses into manifestation. And we can pray or meditate to offset the stress. But these confrontation is a necessary process for bringing the brain to strengthen itself, to use the willpower. But we don't realize it. Love is not something we can just generate out of our body. It's a force that is dormant in us, but it can't come to the surface in a true sense of the word until it has a challenge from every angle in the mechanism. And sometimes we're going to fail. We are human beings, yet in our humanness it's where the strength is, where the possibility of correcting ourselves, the possibility of living it out. There is nothing wrong in failing. What is wrong is beating your head against the wall, reminding yourself that you're failing over and over. This is the problem. It's human to make errors and mistakes. But the problem is that we can't seem to overcome the mistakes and find out what triggers the mistake in us. Some mistakes are triggered from before we are born. And those patterns within us generate anguish, generates fear in us. And once they generate anguish and fear, and we can't cope with them, then we're acting out the suppressed feelings of our parents. Most of us, to some degree, are acting out suppressed feelings of our parents. And this takes a while to make adjustments in us, because we are, in a sense, one with everything. And this sense of oneness carries through on all levels. The male body has certain advantages, it has certain disadvantages in the spiritual life. The female body is in the same situation. We have to bring them into polarity. It's not easy to separate your feeling in a spiritual life when you're involved with a physical body and knowing its structure, its mechanics, and at the same time to relate objectively how to stay above the impact of the emotional feedback of involvement with your fellow man. It's a very difficult process, and it's so difficult at times you will destroy yourself in it. You may hurt yourself in it. It's so difficult that you may give up in it. In some cases, other people destroy themselves by committing suicide. The process of becoming objective spiritually and staying above the emotional levels and the pull of the psychic is not an easy task. The male body is quick to commit suicide in the process. Not so much as the female body. The female body will only commit suicide not by loneliness, not by fear, but by disappointment. It will destroy itself faster through disappointment. The male body will not destroy itself by disappointment. It will not destroy itself by fear. It will only destroy itself by boredom. And every male body that has committed self-destruction, they, whatever writings they've left or whatever indication, it is always some form of boredom. Not too long ago, George Sanders, when he killed himself, he was bored. Equally true, Khalil Gibran. Now, when you take in a life of the female actors or actresses who've committed suicide, the outstanding fact is disappointment. Some let down. Disappointment is when we set an ideal in consciousness and the ideal falters, then we lose heart and trust in it, then there's nothing for us to live for, because it's a hurt that has repeated itself too many times, in which now it takes predominancy and you want to end it all because you have nothing to hold on to. In the female body, this is stronger than in the male body. The male body can take disappointments more often because it has to fight to survive in a jungle of thoughts, let alone in a primitive existence throughout time. To go out to hunt and there is no game, when there was tracks of the game and the disappointment impressed itself, the male body could stand that shock and will try to keep on still using its prowess to survive. But when this gets to be a state of boredom and no challenge anymore, then the male body can't stand it. So self-destruction becomes imminent. In the female body, this is not so. The female body does not go out to hunt. It was not built up in that process to stand the shocks of disappointment. It was built up to stand the shocks of loneliness, frustration, monotony, the long hours of waiting, but not disappointment. It's not designed to react that way efficiently. So when that comes along, it throws it off. And the process sets up certain changes. The female body reconciles itself by the need of contact just as much as the male body reconciles itself by the need of the contact within itself to understand what is going on. We work these out now in meditation. The disappointment can be worked out in meditation, out of the system, to release the stress in the consciousness. Therefore, just as much the loneliness, the boredom can be worked out in consciousness. Now, if you are feeling bliss or peace as the male body, then boredom is no longer there. If you're feeling bliss in the female body, disappointment is no longer there. So the latching on to some personalized aspect of God breaks the boredom in the male body and breaks the disappointment in the female body. Because the personalized aspect of God is supposed to be perfect and not to have these conditions and would not deviate. So this becomes now the stumbling block between the male and the female relationship. When a female says, I have found someone who I can relate to, and right away the husband feels, well, where do I fit in the picture? The wife has suddenly become fanatical over religion. She is relating to a perfect ideal. If the husband says he's found something to which he can relate to, the wife says, where do I fit in? Because she doesn't see it part of her existence. And that again is a conflict. It's in the relationship when boredom or disappointment seems to take over the mechanism to relate to something personal. This triggers now a loss of association. But it's the only thing that puts the individual to stand on their own two feet. When the male body relates to a personalized aspect, it's standing on its own two feet. When the female body is relating to a personalized aspect, it's standing on its own two feet. We all have to stand on our own two feet along in the process of human relationship. Here is where your scriptures is so exacting. If you realize that your scriptures is the most exacting process of behavior between a male and a female body, when it says that he that put away husband or wife, mother or daughter or friend for my sake. This is the personalized commitment. He stands on his own two feet, or she stands on her own two feet then. It is when we commit ourselves to this inner intelligence, this inner feeling, then we can stand on our own two feet spiritually. But that doesn't say we stop relating physically to our loved one. But it's the spiritual strength that is necessary to continue with our loved one. We must have some spiritual relationship inside to strengthen us before we can relate to a loved one. We must know inside what we are, how we stand on our own two feet before we can relate to a loved one. A loved one is a physical mechanism that has to do the same identical thing. They have to love the Lord with all their mind, just as much as you got to love the Lord with all your mind, with all their heart, as much as with your heart, with all the strength and their whole soul. That comes first and paramount in the male body or in the female body, before they can love their neighbor as themselves. Before you can love your partner as yourself, you first got to find yourself. You got to find that commitment inside before you're really loving the other person, to understand the anguish, the turmoil that they're in, which is your own anguish and turmoil that you're in. You're going to feel a tremendous anguish and turmoil to be yourself, to be free. In the male body or the female body, you want your own internal freedom. But how this internal freedom relates on a physical basis between a husband and a wife, this has to be brought down on a human level. You first have to feel a joy inside of being alive, the joy of being a being. Once you feel that joy of being alive and a joy of being, then you have your personal nature established. Then there is no boredom, there is no disappointment. Then your relationship to the next person or your partner is on the human level in which conflicts exist. But in the process of conflicts is the growing up of your humanness, which is the love that you exchange on a human level. You can't exchange a love in a human relationship unless there is humanness, or there is mistakes in it, or there is conflict. The human love brings conflict, which is the necessary ingredients or the necessary climate in which this love gains its strength. If two individuals never have conflicts, then there is no real strength. It will get into another state of boredom. It will get into a state of passive sterility. It will never grow any further than that. It's not a strong love. The slightest challenge to that type of relationship would explode and destroy itself. But when individuals are interacting and growing on a challenge basis and handling the challenges on a human level and can see the conflicts inside and see why the weaknesses are there, why the disappointments are there, why the boredom is there, why the continuous harassment from others are around, and the challenge for the vitality nature and the survival nature all around, then that is love is coming out for the first time. It's coming out from a process. It's not coming out from a lip service. It's coming out from a process inside. This is the difference where the male body and the female body is now growing up to relate objectively. You would not be placed in that other person's orbital experience or orbital movement if you did not need it. That again is a karmic condition. We are thrown together by karma, one. We're thrown together by commitment, two. And we're thrown together by the inner awakening of relationship, the inner bonds of liking, which is a spiritual contact. You feel some inner contact inside. You feel a sense of commitment, a sense of knowingness. And you're thrown together for all these three things to work it out. But at the same time, you have to stand on your own inner consciousness and measure up as a male body, a female body. And the married life or the householder life is the challenging life. Masters who have lived the householder life are all rounded out in every aspect of their consciousness. They do not avoid the conflict. Now, God, if you're looking at it objectively, has to be male-female consciousness. You can't have a creation without polarity, a positive or a negative, a male or female conscious relationship. God is not all positive, neither is he all negative. He is a polarity of both forces. Father spirit, mother nature. There is no such thing as father nature. the very structure of language, the very structure of creation is Mother Nature. And Jesus knew this very clearly. Yogananda knew it, and he says, Father God, Mother God, but Mother is closer than Father. Now, which child can come to this world without parents? You can't come into this world by strictly a father. And you can't come into this world strictly by mother. And if we are an exact image relationship to the Godhead, then the Godhead is both father-mother process. They have to be that union. So God is not a renunciate. God is a true householder.
He's a swinging householder.
But the male body is an aspect of his creation in which he is aloof because it's a depositing force. And the female body is a receptacle force, and it works in conjunction. Yet God's love is the interaction of spirit on matter. Only when this interaction occurs between the spirit and the matter or the form do we feel the love flowing. The female body is important in this respect, that it expresses all the vital forces of Mother Nature and maintains the form, the shape, and the necessary relationship of a balanced existence in the world we live in. The female form is therefore that particular relationship of the spirit in action. Now the spirit in the male body is the driving force that is necessary to maintain protectiveness or joy in the flow of the spirit. What we don't see, because God is outside of his creation, that is the male aspect. See, God the Father took off on the seventh day to go fishing. God the Mother remained to carry on the creation and do the household work. Yogananda used to say, Divine Mother, quit your busy household duties and come to me, or I'll be a naughty baby and I'll cry and shake up the whole of creation and wake up all your sleeping children, and we'll all shout to call you and daddy back to us. So mother is closer than father. In the 7 days of creation, we are looking at the two forces of creation, the male aspect and the female aspect of creation. The 6 days of creation, in which everything has crystallized, is the mother aspect. The seventh day of creation is the father aspect, aloof, withdrawn, sustaining itself. The driving force in the female body is form and function and order. The driving force in the male body is inspiration and sustaining, maintenance. The male body is designed to inspire and sustain. The female body is designed for form and function. When these two forces are aligned in reconciliation after conflict, because growth is conflict. You can't have a seed growing if you don't put it in conflict with the earth. Once you put it in the earth, it will go through the conflict of dying. or germinating or breaking down. Equally true, once the depository force is in the body,